Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today's show, Don't Let Analysis Be the Death of You. Pretty excited to talk about this topic because I know most of you feel that you're spending most of your time doing all sorts of analysis and not sure what it's leading to. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, partner at Business Partner Institute, and I'll be your host today. The format of the show is as usual. We are recording for the podcast and you can take part. Just raise your hand, come up on stage, share your perspective, or ask questions. The show is based on an article I released this morning called Have You Been Dead by Analysis? You're still all alive, so I guess not, but I'm sure you can recognize that feeling. So I'll talk through the blog post and invite you to come and share your perspectives as well. So, death by analysis. I know it sounds dramatic, but of course, it's not quite a matter of mortal death, but it's something that most finance and data analytics professionals will have had the, let's call it, misfortune of experiencing. Now, it's not going to analyze itself, of course, speaking of data and the numbers, but here's the standard workflow for many, and I'd hesitate to say most, but probably that is the case. Most finance professionals dipping their toe into analysis. First, they take a look at their ERP platform and identify information that might be relevant to the question or task at hand. The data gets extracted in whatever format is available and then imported to Excel, where, of course, we do a pivot table. I have done this many times, and I'm sure you have done it too. If you haven't, then I won't say something is wrong with you because it's not necessarily the greatest approach, but I think we've all tried it. Then, as finance professionals, we start to look for trends, patterns, occurrences that might look like they are statistically notable. All too often, this work is essentially unstructured. People don't really know what it is that they're hoping to see, let alone what they might do with the information that they actually see. It's not just like looking for a needle in a haystack. And I've been saying this for so many times in the past couple of months, but it just seems to ring so true. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack without having ever seen a needle. And of course, I'm very curious if anyone here in the audience feels like this resembles their approach to analysis. Feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage, and let us know how do you do analysis, or do you recognize this perspective on analysis? Hello, Rakesh. Welcome to the stage. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Yeah, the analysis is, as you write, that it has become quite data-driven and it has become quite complex. But yes, needle in a haystack, because we also run a lot of pivot tables during our analytics. And obviously would appreciate a more faster way, you know, to do it so that it benefits the entire financial audience as well. So yes, we have experienced such scenarios as what you were sharing for researching information.
Thanks a lot for sharing, Rakesh. And I'm sure that most of us can relate to this. If you have a similar experience as Rakesh, feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage. So if you die in analysis, do you also die in real life? Of course not, but this kind of Sisyphean way of working might be referred to as death by analysis. And I think it's one of the primary reasons for stress and burnout that we see in many finance functions. It's putting the brakes on innovation, and crucially, it's preventing us from creating value through insights. So let me share a better way of working. But before that, we also have Troy coming up, longtime guest on the show here. We'll bring Troy to the stage as well. Troy, welcome to the stage. Feel free to introduce yourself and share a question or a perspective.
Hello, Anders. Hello to your listeners. It's good to be on the show once again. I totally get where you're coming from. I've been through the same type of challenges before, but I think one thing that can help us as finance professionals is to really look into automation. So for example, I haven't really used Pivot Table in a long time because I've been using Power Query in conjunction with Power BI. With that, you can automate so much of your work that every month then you just do sort of a refresh and you have your new reports that you need. The other thing too, like we need to step back and look the big picture as to know, like, what kinds of insight are we trying to provide? Because sometimes you can get carried away and sort of you want to report everything, right? So analysis by paralysis is not really just at the back end where you're gathering data. It can be your output as well, where you're providing too much information to your audience. So look at what you need to provide, what's important to your leaders, and that can be helpful also.
Absolutely. And thanks a lot for sharing, Ryan. I do think that automation definitely holds a lot of promise here. Right now, it feels like we're doing the analysis over and over again every month, but a lot of it is actually more like data wrangling work rather than actually analyzing numbers. If we actually automated the wrangling part, we would have lots more time to look into the numbers and actually come up with the insights that are needed. And the second part, I fully agree to that as well. And it's really also part of this, let's call it better way of working. Because where should we start the analysis? We should start with a clear objective. What are we trying to achieve? Why are we doing this analysis in the first place? What's the problem that we're trying to solve or the question that we're trying to answer? What's the process that we're trying to streamline, speaking to your point, Troy, or the strategic issue that you're trying to navigate? If you don't even know why we're looking at stuff, then it doesn't really matter what we're looking at. And the only way to answer this crucial first question is by consulting with other stakeholders across the business. It can also be finance leaders, of course, because the modern finance function is cross-functional and based on interdisciplinary cooperation. This means getting your hands dirty across the business, understanding what it is the other parts of the organization need and how you can support them. Now, we do a lot of work in this space here. We call it customer focus or being customer centric. And we ask people to identify who are your main stakeholders in the business or in the finance function, depending on your role. How is your relationship with them? Do they trust you? Do they have a good perception of the work that you do? How important are they in the organization? Based on that, you should rank who should you spend the most time on and who not so much. And then the most important stakeholders, go and ask them, book them for a meeting, however you want to do it. What are their key priorities? Not what are the things they want from you, but what are their key priorities? They might be aligned, but often not. Because all the things they can get from finance is data and reports, right? So ask them, what are your three key priorities right now? People love to talk about what they do, so I'm sure they will share that. And then figure out how can you help them solve these priorities. That should take precedence over almost anything else, any other work that you can do. Because these are your most important stakeholders. If they are not successful, you are not successful. So having identified and understood the challenge, you can sketch out the form that a valuable insight might take. Then using the information and expertise you've gathered across the organization, it's time to form a hypothesis. And I think this is key, the hypothesis. We'll get right back to that. What do you think is happening? What do you think might present itself if the relevant data was explored? How do you think the business problem can be best solved? If you ask one of the leading management thinkers in the world, Roger Martin, he would say that we are also dying by analysis because we lack the hypothesis. We fail to ask what would have to be true for a solution to be a good solution or for us to be able to address a root cause. Without asking this question, we have nothing to analyze. Sure, there's data and stuff in front of you, but analyzing that is not likely to lead to a good answer. So we need a different process, and that process starts with a hypothesis. So hypothesis, analysis, insight, those three steps. I'm curious to hear, Troy or Cass, feel free to chime in as well, If anyone in the audience feel that that process would be valuable, valid, and especially, of course, is it different from what you do today? Feel free to raise your hand, come on stage, share perspectives, or ask questions. And Troy and Rakesh, feel free, of course, to do so as well.
Okay, I would like to share something. So as you mentioned, the hypothesis version of analyzing data is, I feel, indeed accurate. Because obviously, when you have two alternate sets of data, that is a null and the alternate hypothesis which you want to prove or the null hypothesis you want to disprove, then you obviously rally the right data sets, if I may use the word, for both sets of data. And obviously, you have the normal distribution curve where you would probably fall in the acceptance or the rejection region. So that sort of aids in decision making. And I think that is the approach which most of the data analytics firms or pharma companies basically use, especially for drug trials and say for any new product launches and things like that. So that I think that is one of the most accurate ways of doing it. But just would like to share that if there is Troy mentioned, alternate way to automate or streamline this process itself, analysis part becomes easy, right? For the senior management basically to interpret the results. But if there is a way to basically automate the process of basically data gathering and analysis part, the end result, that is formulation of strategy, because it becomes easy. Because what is the ultimate aim of data is basically to solve a problem, right? As you mentioned rightly. So if you can automate that tool, it becomes less cumbersome and the interpretation part is left to the human to do it. So I would leverage on AI or analytics tools, basically, you know, to analyze the data for me, including the hypothesis testing, and then leave more for analysis part from my end. That's all I'd like to add. Thank you.
Just one more point to add to, so we know automation can help a lot, especially with what they call ETL, which is the transform and load data. One thing I've noticed though, it's we have many tools these days at our disposal to use. And a lot of folks get carried away with these tools and spend a lot of time learning these tools and try to be an expert in these tools. But at the end of the day, these are just tools at our disposal. And we need to treat them as tools and not too much focus on those tools. We are trying to gather insights and what's the big picture here.
I think that makes good sense, Troy, right? So the tools can enable and make our process more efficient, but they can't create a better process themselves. At least most tools cannot. So if we don't have the right process of approaching analysis in the first place, more tools won't make it better. So I think that's a good perspective. We also now have Kieran on stage. Kieran, feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Hi, Andrew. You know, when you say hypothesis and you put the statistical aspect to it, yes or no type of thing, I get a feeling that there is a limiting factor or something. And I would like to know more on how you can actually bring in the scenario type of thing for your hypothesis. Yes or no is almost like the same thing as what we do, favorable or unfavorable from the accounting point of view. So to come up with a better hypothesis or the one that you're talking about, so how do you link that up with the scenario or some additional factors that you could actually go on missing?
Yeah, so maybe give a simple example, Kieran. I mean, let's say you wanted to find a faster way to go to work. You can either look at, can I go faster in the current vehicle or ways of transportation that I'm using? Can I use a different means of transportation, or can I leave at a different point, either earlier to not hit rush hour or later to not hit rush hour? So you can set up different kind of hypotheses that you then can analyze afterwards. So I think that's maybe the simplest way to explain this.
So it's the drivers that play in, I guess, the role up here.
It really depends. Of course, it's more complex than the simple example I'm sharing here. But if you were, let's say, using that example of traveling faster to work, you can make different kind of scenarios around that. But you first need to have those simple hypotheses around how could you get faster to work to get there.
Oh, yeah, makes sense, man. Starts it small and then eventually broaden it. Yeah.
Anders, sorry, I have a question on, further to what Kieran had asked. So which is right, I agree to your point that you've got to formulate the problem statement first and then form hypothesis, right? The scenarios to analyze it. Like, as you said, what is the best way to get to the work, whether it's option A, get to work option A, option B. But my point is that can, say, AI or ML not aid in formulating those hypotheses apart from getting the hypothesis testing results done? Because if that is done, then it will be just pick and choose, right, for the senior management, which is the right option, which is the wrong option. So that's where I'm coming from. So I understand that's complex, but see, hypothesis is different from scenario to scenario, and because every business has different set of problems to choose from or different scenarios to test. So obviously, it differs. It's not a one-size-fit-all approach. But there are ways or tools basically formulate that for companies based on their mission and vision that they want to accomplish. I think, wouldn't that be a better option?
It could be, Rakesh. Really, it depends on if you already know the root cause or not. So if you don't know the root cause, you might need to investigate and analyze this first. And here I think AI ML can play a role in that. If you do know the root cause, though, you should be able to form hypotheses, let's say, together with business stakeholders. And then maybe later on, you need to use these tools to analyze the hypothesis. So it really depends on how much you know about the problem already.
I'm just thinking of a hypothetical situation because you mentioned hypothesis. Why not preempt certain problems for certain businesses and then use hypothesis? So testing for those. So for example, a pharma company, for example, is manufacturing or testing a particular drug. So whether this drug is going to be effective, whether it's going to be a placebo that's going to formulate those, some kind of these scenarios which it can preempt already for sector-wise. And these were the set of all. Suppose if I as a sector, pharma sector, banking sector, I have 10 problems to deal with, right, on a day-to-day basis. And I would leverage on, say, analytics or hypothesis testing to get to the root cause, as you mentioned. So why not leverage some kind of tool which can predict those problems and then basis that I click on that and give me the results on what is the best option for it. I understand that you cannot preempt 100% of situations, but at least 70-80% hit rate.
I think it's definitely possible with what's available today, Rakesh. I just think most finance teams, at least they're nowhere near that level of where they're able to do that. So I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying we have some steps to go before we get to that point, I think.
Got it.
Thanks. And now, Rufai, also welcome to the stage again. We also had you last week. Please introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rufai. I'm the head of financial reporting and analysis with CBCL. On the topic today, I feel like this is an interesting topic because of this is one of those areas that stretch the confine of the boundary in which we've often operate as finance professionals. And the reason for that is that I used to tell people that before data analytics today, finance professional has been the traditional data analyst. The problem is that we are limited to structured and just financial data only. Why I'm saying this is that for me, I've heard the other speakers talk about things that we could automate, things that we could do. But from my experience in a business analytics project, it has always formulation of the problem. The interesting thing about this is that we are one of the few people in the business that because of our penthouse view of the business that could understand and help stakeholders to really understand what's the objective. Because I don't think there's a lot of tools out there, even stripped people written to help you to do a lot of T-test, you know, Z-test or stuff like that. Before we even get to that point, where the value stands, where we could come in and build capacity is to bring our business acumen, our business knowledge to help business to define the problem. And I feel like if you ask a lot of people that have done business analytics project, they will tell you that stakeholders or business partners, when I say stakeholders, people we serve, some of them don't even know how to tell you, I mean, to define their problem. So for me, before we even get to that point, there's a lot of things technology could do for us today. You don't need to be, when I did these statistics back in school, we used to compute this ourselves, use the formula, but now you could run a script and get that done and know whatever, you know, even to the point of making decisions. Because the basis of making decisions is just simple. You just want to know whether it falls within certain rejection or certain region, and that's fine. But getting to the problem, defining the problem, because once you get that part wrong, because one interesting thing about this is that the analysis, the type of test, the level that you need to go, depends on what kind of problem you are trying to solve. You need to understand that part of the statistics. Are you comparing between two populations, trying to see what is better, what is not better? Are you trying to look at defective based on proportion? There's a lot of a bit of statistical knowledge. And an interesting thing is I think a lot of professional institutions now started adding this to their courses because that is the most important foundation that we need to get right. And there's nobody that is positioned to get this done than finance professionals. But we just need to stretch ourselves beyond the confine of just financial and structured data to understand how we can leverage on analytics and technology around us to push the boundary, not just in financial data, but to involve non-financial and non-structured data that is everywhere, which is a lot of potentials in that. And that's just my contribution for now.
Thanks, Rufai. And I'm 100% with you. We need to help business leaders define the problems that they are working on. Sometimes they may know. I think they can still use our help to make it even more specific and better defined. Sometimes they don't know and they will really appreciate our help. So it's a really great, great point that we need to, of course, step in there because it comes even before hypothesis that we can define the problem. I'm just going to round things up here and then open up the Q&A if there's any other questions. So as I mentioned, hypothesis, analysis, insight is really the analysis process to take. So next, analyze the data to test your hypothesis. This is where, you know, data analytics skills, for instance, can come in, or crucially, where you might seek support from other teams or individuals with the relevant skills if you haven't developed these yourselves. So as the finance function matures and changes, the overlap with data analytics is growing. So while these are two distinct skill sets, and we've talked about that previously on this show, the intersection between the two is where we're going to solve the problems of today and tomorrow, or at least be part of doing the right kind of analysis. So once you've tested your hypothesis, it's time to present that insight you've generated. The manner of that presentation, of course, is crucial. And if you want to create better outcomes, that will then be the topic of the next show next week. But being more mindful and purposeful about the way you analyze and interpret data is the number one thing you can do for your career right now. Next, of course, is to build on your communication skills from there. We'll get back to it. It's the key to generating insight, and that is the way we unlock the value of the finance function. Get started today and subscribe to my newsletter, Strengths in Finance and Accounting. You can find it on LinkedIn or go subscribe to the podcast. New episodes come out every week. And of course, you can also join the show here next week. So that was my take on a different approach to doing analysis. I'm just going to open the floor for Q&A. So if anyone else in the audience have any questions you would like to ask either me or some of the other speakers now here on the floor, feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage. And of course, Kieran, Troy, Rufai, and Rakesh, feel free to also share as well.
Yes, Anders. So one other point to this whole process in the analysis is we need to remember that one of the greatest tools that we have at our disposal is our minds. And it's a tool in our arsenal that we tend to forget, especially when you think about in the book, Thinking Fast and Slow, about system one and system two type of thinking, where you have a process that you're looking at, and it's a very routine process, but then you have to concentrate, and that's a whole system one thinking, but then you have to think in terms of system two, how do you make it better? It's an iteration every time you go through the process to make it, always make it better. And remember that your mind is it's a tool also in the whole process.
No, it absolutely is, right? It doesn't all just come down to technology. Of course, we need to apply our skills and our approach to solving the problems where finance professionals come in with our angle and our way of doing things. And it all adds up. So we definitely needed at the table. I want to thank everyone for being here today. Kieran, Troy, Rufai, Rakesh, thanks so much for being on stage and making this show a great lively one, sharing your insights, asking good questions. I hope to see you again next time. And thanks a lot to everyone listening in. Hope to see you all again next week for the next episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. So thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of the day. Bye.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?